Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy, 2016, Episode 12. Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy. I'm Travis Justice, joined once again by former Husker All-American, Big 8 Athlete of the Year, all-around nice guy, and he also happens to be a doctor, Dr. Rob Zadis. What's up, sir?
How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay.
It's kind of a laid-back weekend. I didn't have to stress about my team winning.
Yeah, well, I had to stress about the Iowa Hawkeyes winning. But it's laid-back because we start this edition of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy, drinking beer, as we always do. And it was my selection this week. Rob has come in for like the last 3 weeks. I came in this week because Dr. Rob is actually heading to New Orleans, I believe, next week. And out of honor of that, I got you an Abita. But when I was in New Orleans it was August when I moved Abigail back, I went to this bar. They just got Abita Wheat Blueberry on tap. Now, that was the first I've seen it in New Orleans. And I was at World Market the other day, and they had Abita Blueberry. So in honor of your trip to New Orleans, I got the Abita Blueberry Wheat.
It's not what I would have expected. Now, I like wheat beer. It's not my favorite.
Okay.
This is a very light, very crisp wheat beer.
Yes.
And it's like a subtle hint of blueberry.
Well, what it is,
it's not overpowering. I thought I was going to, you handed this to me and I'm thinking, great, I got a freaking Metamucil fruit smoothie here. that was the first thought that went through my head. I like this.
What I like about this, and this is getting really technical though, the blueberries on the front end, the wheat's on the back end. So as soon as it hits your palate.
Yeah, I'd agree.
The blueberries right there. Then as it goes down, you're like, oh, there's the wheaty beer taste. But you're right. When you get some fruit beers, it can be downright overpowering. But the blueberry is just the right amount of blueberry here.
It is. And, you know, I'm a label reader. When it comes to beer, I'm a label reader.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I find interesting here, and I understand now why I like it. They said they use a Pilsner malt with it, which kind of, I think it kind of smooths it out and gives it sort of like that light crispness, which, again, I'm not trying to sound like I'm like the beer connoisseur here. It's a lot lighter than I thought it was going to be. I thought, and I like big bodied, heavy beers. I don't like really caramely sweet beers.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not a Boulevard guy. You know, Boulevard Wheat, I'm not a big fan of.
And it's not my favorite. And there's some wheat beers I do like. But when you handed me this and I saw blueberry wheat, I'm thinking, this is going to be like this. Yeah, it's going to be like drinking log cabin syrup. I thought it was going to be like this really thick, overly sweet beer, and that's just not my cup of tea. And this is, I like it. It's good.
Well, see, you're heading to New Orleans. You're going to the Big Easy.
And I've had Abita before. I've never seen this one before.
Yeah, I think it's fairly new because when we were down there in August, they said it was fairly new. And so we had it off the tap. I'm glad to see it in bottles. Again, I got it at World Market. I've never been able to find it at Hy-Vee or Beertopia or anything like that. So this is where I got it. So when you head to New Orleans next week, you're going to have plenty of Abita to drink. There's a lot of Abita down there. You'll get a lot of different varieties. But also, take time to go
drink
see my
local.
Go
drink
see my
local.
Daughter, will you?
I will make sure she's staying. I'd say make sure she's staying in line, but knowing her and knowing you, you're the one who's more likely.
Actually, you're going to be staying, I believe, right by her campus. So I think I'm supposed to line up a meet and greet and so you guys, so you can take
her. Go check out the campus. Yeah. Loyola's, I mean, it's a historical college.
Now, anytime you go on the road and you visit somebody else's kid who's in college, you have to take him for lunch or dinner. because they're starving. Just to let you know that. That's the protocol.
Actually, I would be honored to take Abigail out for dinner.
Hey, the Husker Doc Talk podcast is presented by the Remington Trophy. The Remington Trophy is presented annually to the nation's top center. Named after former Husker great Dave Remington, the Remington Trophy Banquet will take place January 14th, 2017 at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln. As the year moves along, we're going to keep you informed on who this year's Ford Legends Award winner is and who the featured speaker is. I got to be honest with you, we should be getting pretty close to that. Dave is, last I knew, en route back to New York from
Bora Bora.
Yeah, he actually left, I think, Australia. He was on like an 18-day cruise.
It was the South Pacific cruise.
It was amazing. But we hope to hear from Dave very shortly on who the Ford Legends Award winner is and who the featured speaker is going to be. The Remington Trophy presentation benefits the Boomer Esiason Foundation, where Dave is the president. Cystic fibrosis is a chronic disease that affects the lungs and digestive system of about 30,000 children and adults in the United States, 70,000 worldwide. For more information on how you can help fight cystic fibrosis and help those who have it, visit esiason.org. And coming up a little bit later, the Remington Trophy Watch List Spotlight. We want to welcome Husker Hounds to the Doc Talk podcast this season, now with 3 stores in Omaha. Husker Hounds is the best place to buy Nebraska gifts and officially licensed apparel. I just got an officially licensed, authentic, alternative chrome helmet.
Got a surrender helmet?
It's awesome. It was simply awesome. And now I'm going to go back and get a helmet case for it. It's to die for. I got the entire coaching staff to sign it, and it's going to be auctioned off at our Scareway Cancer event.
Very cool. Yeah. Do you know what's cool? You want to know the goofy thing? I've picked up, I think, 2 or 3 of those plexiglasses and
things. Oh, yeah.
Right word, but basically, it's the helmet.
Helmet cases?
The helmet football display cases. And my kids use them for like displaying like art projects and
but they work and they're
things
great.
Like that. Yeah, I think we've put pretty much everything in them except an actual football or a helmet. But I've picked up 2 or 3 and I've gotten them all from Scott at Husker Hounds.
I was lucky because I got the helmet at Husker Hounds, and it's a Rydell helmet. It's a full size Rydell helmet. Tom Chattel from the Omaha World Herald helped me out to get it signed by all the Husker coaches. The Husker coaches knew. Because it said Scareway Cancer on it. You know what they gave me with the helmet?
What did they give you with the helmet?
The commemorative Sam Foles sticker that goes on the helmet.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Because I guarantee you, there are not a lot of those floating around out there.
And we only thought that the coaching staff, this is how cool the coaching staff is at the University of Nebraska, especially Mike Riley. Because we only asked for Mike Riley to sign it. Mike went ahead and took it around to the entire coaching staff and had them all sign it, which I thought was really
cool. You know, I'm going to go off on a tangent here
a little bit.
And you know, I have not met Coach Riley yet.
Not person to person, you haven't?
I haven't. I've had a couple of opportunities where I've been in the same room. And
yeah.
Usually it's at some Husker event, which also means there's about half a dozen or a dozen other guys that I know and played with and have a pretty good connection with, and invariably I end up hanging out talking with those guys, and by the time I turn around and I should go meet Coach Riley, he's already moved on. But we talked extensively over the past couple of weeks about Coach Tenneper's passing, and you know, he and Coach Kavanaugh developed a very good, very close relationship. And you got talk about two guys cut from the same cloth. I mean, these guys, slightly different eras. Now, I mean, it's still, but still pretty similar philosophies in terms of how they coach and the type of players that they want to coach. And I had a chance to meet Coach Kavanaugh. It was the first time I'd ever had a chance to meet him. And, you know, I think Kavanaugh kind of echoes Riley and the rest of that coaching staff in terms of how they are as people. But I got to tell you what, Kavanaugh is a guy with essentially zero ego.
And that's rare to see in college football coaching.
It is. And I'm saying, and you know, I get it. Offensive line coaches, how glamorous a spot is that? You're not the quarterback's coach. You're not the offensive coordinator. You're not the defensive coordinator. So I kind of get it. I mean, it's not exactly amongst the coaching positions, the glamour job anyway. But you got a guy who is a Division I offensive line coach. He, by all means, the guy's put guys into the NFL. And you look at what he's done at Nebraska. talk about a little bit, and as we've seen this season go along, we've seen a little bit of how, from a recruiting standpoint and a player development standpoint, how empty that cupboard was when Pelini left. And that, you look now where that they've had a couple of injuries at guard. Neville's a little banged up at tackle. And they're throwing walk-ons in who are getting starting jobs now. And these are guys who legitimately 8 weeks ago were third stringers. And now they're Division I starters. And I think it's a testament to how good a job this guy's done. But anyway, this is a guy. Kavanaugh's a guy. And I think this speaks to the whole coaching staff.
Because they usually take on the personality of the head coach.
That they do. And I think that entire staff. But Kavanaugh's the only one I've had a chance to meet personally. There's a guy, zero ego. It might be one of the kindest, most generous, most gracious guys I've had a chance to sit and talk with. Just an awesome, awesome person. I was incredibly impressed having a chance to meet him in person. And like you said, if it speaks anything to the rest of that coaching staff, it's a good group of people.
Of course, Scotty at Husker Hounds just got a shipment of infant and newborn Husker gear in, and it's October, where they always sell cheerleading outfits and little kids' football uniforms for Halloween. Get to one of the three Omaha-area locations, load up, including the new Husker Hounds store at 149th and Maple. We also want to thank HuskerMax.com for sharing the Husker Doc Talk podcast. For up-to-date Husker news, visit HuskerMax.com. That's where I go each and every day when I get the latest news about the Big Red. Of course, we're not talking about a Big Red win or loss because they didn't play last weekend.
But we talked about Iowa.
But no, but what we can say is this, is that not playing, they jump up to
12th, I thought.
No, they're 10th and 9th. 10th.
Okay. So you know what I was looking at? I was looking at the National Football Foundation Super 16 power rankings, which comes out on a weekly basis.
It's interesting because I've seen even a lot of former Husker players on Facebook that I'm friends with saying, oh, it's too soon, it's too high, we'll take it, but it's not good. But then, Rob, I started going through the top 10, and it's really to the analogy you had earlier in the season, even going back to last year. I do think Nebraska is a top 10 team. Now, do I think they're in the same caliber as Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson? No, because not too many teams are. But when there's a huge drop-off, I think, from maybe 4 and 5 down. And I think, being undefeated, Nebraska belongs right there. I can make a case for Nebraska to be there just as much as a lot of other teams.
Well, and the other thing is, too, when you look at the kind of the national picture right now, God, it's hard to figure out. I mean, look at Stanford, for instance. Boy, they've got a couple of ugly losses the last couple of weeks. And this is a team that was a top five team, what, a month ago?
Yeah.
Two, three weeks ago was a top five team.
Look at the teams that started in the top five or top 10 that are no longer there.
You know, Florida State, which they
Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, I think, is a team that I like.
Notre Dame?
God, I think Notre
Michigan
Dame.
State?
Notre Dame always starts off overrated.
Brian Kelly may lose his job.
He could. Michigan State, you know, that was a team that, you know, people are going to look at them and go, okay, you know what? Boy, they lost a lot coming into this year. And I don't think anybody's hugely surprised. I think that Indiana loss shocked them a little bit. BYU, I got to be honest, I don't know much about BYU. So that's a hard one. But BYU took it to them. Stanford's a tough one to figure out because they didn't lose a ton. They had some solid linemen coming back. They had some solid skill guys coming back, obviously Christian McCaffrey. But that's a tough one to figure out. I almost wonder if that's a team that was kind of resting on that Rose Bowl win coming into this season, thinking they were just going to waltz through the schedule, and it hasn't happened. You look at USC, a team that's absolutely loaded with talent. Granted, they beat Colorado this weekend, which we were all saying was a good team. You know, that USC-Colorado game's a nice little microcosm for the season because you got a team in USC with tremendous talent. It's just they're not that good in terms of team football and in terms of how they play. You got Colorado, a team that nobody really saw coming, that all of a sudden shot into the top 20. Of course, they fell right back out of it. But that's... it's just it's a hard season to really get a grasp on. We know Ohio State's probably pretty darn good.
Alabama's pretty darn good. Clemson's pretty darn good. Michigan's pretty darn good.
Michigan. Well,
what'd you think of this? They put 78. Listen, I don't care who you are. 78
Rutgers
on anybody.
Is so bad.
They are bad.
They are so bad.
But my God, 78,
and that was in New Jersey.
That's like old school 83 Nebraska stuff.
Yeah, it is. And so much of it was on the ground. That's the killer there. I think Michigan's very good, which scares me when I think about then Wisconsin, because that was a 14-7 game, I believe, or was it 21-7?
Well, I'm trying to think.
I just, like, there's so many 14-7 games in the Big Ten.
Hell, Iowa's had two of them. Iowa beat Rutgers 14-7, then beat Minnesota 14-7.
Yeah, there's so many 14-7 scores floating around the Big Ten. Anyway, Wisconsin played them. It was a very tight game. And that's, but then you turn around and you look at Wisconsin. Boy, they needed some heroics to hold off, who was it, Georgia State?
Yeah.
I just, it's hard to figure this year. This is going to be one of those seasons where, boy, we're going to need to really get into week 10, week 11 before we have a grasp on, okay, now we kind of know who the good teams are.
So here's what's going to happen, and I don't think it's fair because I defended Iowa in the same situation last year. You're going to have a lot of the national people start picking on the schedule.
For Nebraska.
Yeah, for Nebraska.
I
disagree with it. You're undefeated to this point, and I just didn't mean to cut you off, but just let me finish my point. You're undefeated to this point. Nobody else has been able to do that. Sure, you know, the Oregon win may not look as good as it does at this point. But listen, if I defended Iowa last year, I have to defend Nebraska this year.
Yeah, but I think Oregon's better than what they showed against Washington, although Washington is a very good team. Well, now here's the other thing about Nebraska beating Oregon.
Helfrich is going to get fired.
He probably will. Here's the other thing about that Nebraska-Oregon game. And everybody's sitting back going, well, God, we barely beat these guys. You know what? You take away a botched play, that lateral pass in the flat to Wilbon right at towards the end of the second quarter. Oregon essentially returned that for a touchdown. They didn't return it for a touchdown. I get that. They took it back to the 50, and then sort of a flustered Nebraska defense got burned on the very next play for essentially a 50-yard touchdown. But that was a 14-point swing right there. Nebraska, you know, give them that 14 points back. And all of a sudden, instead of Nebraska going into halftime down by one score, Nebraska's going into the end of the third, going into the fourth quarter with this 35-14 lead, and we're talking about an utter blowout. That Oregon game, Nebraska, in terms of on-the-field performance, blew those guys out of the water. You look at the time of possession. You look at the rushing yardage. You look at the Nebraska knocked Oregon players out of the game. Nebraska out-physicaled Oregon. Oregon could not hang with Nebraska. And like I said, I will go to my grave saying Nebraska blew them out. There was one play, that botched lateral to Wilbon where he couldn't get a hand on the ball. Oregon recovered it, scored the next play. That was a 14-point swing. Nebraska, if you think it, they were going in to score at the time, and if they had, they went on a roll. They scored on the next series, and then the first two of the second half, if that play hadn't happened again, Nebraska's ahead 35-14 going into the fourth quarter of that Oregon game. That's a blowout. Nebraska blew out a not very good Oregon team.
And that's why I'm saying either way, close or even a blowout, people are going to say the Oregon win isn't that impressive now. I disagree with it. Now, I think Nebraska should be ranked in the top 10. Do you think Nebraska should be ranked in the top 10?
In my mind, I'd still have them top 15. Now, you ask who should be in front of them. I don't have a great answer for you because there's a lot of teams in Nebraska's boat right now where you sit there and go, oh, these guys are a great team. But, man, there's some very good teams out there who have played, you know, some not impressive football on occasion this year. Like I said, it's, you know, Michigan looked questionable against Wisconsin. Wisconsin looked questionable against Georgia State. Who's the real team? Is it the Michigan team that played 14-7 against Wisconsin, or the team that put almost 80 points up against 80 points up against Rutgers? You look at Oklahoma. Oklahoma has looked. I think Oklahoma's problem is they've got zero defense.
That's the entire Big 12. That's why I see Baylor ranked ahead of Nebraska in one poll, and I'm like, no, I've watched Baylor. I watched Baylor play Iowa State a couple weeks ago. Baylor's not that good of a football team.
And I have not watched Baylor play live this year. I've watched Oklahoma twice, and Oklahoma's got an offense. I mean, they put almost 700 yards of total offense up this weekend against Texas. Now, Texas doesn't have a defense either, but it's still 700 yards of total offense, 700 yards of total offense.
I will go back to what Pat Fitzgerald said after the Iowa game where Northwestern beat Iowa. What's the biggest difference between losing to Nebraska and beating Iowa? And he said Tommy Armstrong. And this goes back to last year. We were hard on Tommy Armstrong a year ago. We were hard on Nebraska a year ago because they deserved it. But when you have Tommy playing within himself, not making stupid mental mistakes, and not pushing it, they're a pretty darn good football team. And that's why I have no problem saying, yeah, this team is a legitimate top 10 right now, because not making mistakes.
If Nebraska doesn't have the penalties biting them in the ass,
yeah,
and they're not turning the ball over, like I said, I'm not saying top 5.
They're not in the upper echelon. There's no way I would say that.
But they are a very, very good football team, which I'm trying to think of a way to phrase this. When you looked at, say, the top 25 20 years ago,
yeah,
mid-late 1990s, there was, you know, there was kind of a top 5, and then there was the other 15 to 20 teams. I think it's almost more so now. The place where parity has affected teams
is 6 through 25. It's like the top 1% is so much better than the other.
And it is. And that's the weird thing that hasn't changed. The top teams in any given year, those top 3 to 5 teams, yeah, are so much better than everybody else.
I think they're better now than they were 10 years ago. I mean, you guys, the 94-95 team,
I would say the same thing of that era.
Really?
I'll go back to, say, 94.
Okay.
So Nebraska won the national title.
Okay.
Okay. Penn State was number 2.
Yeah.
Colorado, I believe, was number 3. And Colorado.
Was that after you kicked their ass?
Yeah, their only loss was to us. They slaughtered Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl. That was Ron Powlis at Notre Dame.
Jeez.
Colorado just destroyed them. I'm getting fuzzy. I think Miami still stayed top 5. I think Florida State was up there. I kind of start losing it after that. But that was, in that era, Nebraska, Penn State, Colorado, Florida State, Miami. After that, there was a big drop-off. Nobody else was going to beat those teams at the end of the year. On a good day, nobody was going to beat any of those teams.
And then it went USC, Texas, and then Alabama really started to.
Yeah, so you look, kind of early, mid-2000s. Man, nobody could touch USC. Yeah, the top then was the top 3 to 5 teams of almost any era, including this current one, are by far and away. There's still kind of that upper echelon that's just darn near untouchable. But there was kind of a nice gradation then from kind of that 6th spot through the 25th spot. You know, the 6th ranked team was a little better than the 7th. 7th was a little bit better than 8th, so on and so forth. Today, I think the 6th or 7th ranked team on any given day could easily be knocked off by the 23rd ranked team. There's almost no difference in those teams, and I think it's schedule and circumstance that depends on where you end up. I think Nebraska was lucky to get Oregon when they did, because I think it kind of wowed people enough, it pushed them up into the, what was it, 19th?
Yeah, they were pretty. I think
Nebraska
then went like to 12 or
yeah, something. Nebraska went from unranked to like 19th, and then they went 16th, and then 12th, 13th, and here you go.
Four Big Ten teams in the top 10, I believe.
Yeah, and there's, like I said, I think Ohio State's in a class by themselves. I think Michigan's in a class, well, with Ohio State. Wisconsin, I can't figure them out yet.
You know what I like about Wisconsin?
That'll be an interesting.
Their defense. I love their defense. I love, because they're like pit bulls, man. They just attack.
They are. Excellent defense. Which, God, Paul Christ is an offensive-minded guy.
I know, but these guys are pit bulls, man.
But again, he's got kind of your prototypical Barry Alvarez Wisconsin offense, big monstrous offensive line, a quarterback who can't do shit, and some running backs, if they're healthy, will kick the crap out of you. So it's Wisconsin football, and you know what? They're going to live or die by it, and that's not a bad thing. That's a game. God, I right now, if you ask me, does Nebraska beat Wisconsin, I say no, but I say that on the strength of Wisconsin's defense and the fact that it's up in Camp Randall. See, and that's just a brutal, brutal place to go play.
It is. Hey, this week's Remington Trophy Watchlist Spotlight shines on Coleman Shelton from Washington. He's a 6'4", 293-pound junior. Huskies are off to their best start in year, 6-0 on the season, up to number 5 in both the AP and the coaches poll. Now, he has started every game so far at center this year. He's named the team's Lineman of the Week against Rutgers. In 2015, he started all 13 games on the offensive line, started the first
at every stinking other position.
And that's how I was going back 2014. I don't know if we've talked about a lot of versatile guys.
I think he started 7 or 8 games as a redshirt freshman.
He started 7 games all at right tackle. He played in 13, started all at right tackle in 2014.
Which, and I get it, 2014 Washington wasn't good. Was that no. Chris Peterson's first year? So first year there, he got a little bit of a shakeup. They weren't a very good team. Breaks into the starting lineup. Man, this kid's just a ball player.
I think he moves up because of Washington. He moves up the ranks.
You could make him a blocking tight end, and he'd go to the NFL as a blocking tight end.
He'd have to lose a little weight, wouldn't he? 293?
The guy can move. I mean, you look at him, he's 6'4", 6'5". He's kind of built like a big, rangy guy. I mean, he's not one of these squat, Matt Hoskinson, 5'6", 290-pound offensive lineman. I mean, he's a big, rangy guy. I mean, he looks like a power forward in basketball.
You know what I like about Chris Peterson and the players he has at Washington? And I know a lot of Husker fans don't like Washington, but I will say this.
I was always A-OK with them.
Yeah, I know. But
I love Don James. God bless his soul.
Chris Peterson, at one point, could have had any job in America that he wanted. He really could have.
I thought this was such a perfect fit.
What I'm saying. He waited for what he knew he wanted. I think he knew that eventually the Washington job would come open. I think he knew what fit he wanted, the culture he wanted, the area of the country he wanted to live in. I thought that patience was awesome the way he showed that. And this is
kind of one of those guys that this almost echoes back to, say, like Tyrone Willingham. This is a guy who, yeah, like you said, could have taken almost any job in the country. And I'm not saying Notre Dame or Texas would have hired him. Just because they got these blinding egos. But you get past those two teams, I think he could have gone darn near almost anywhere and done excellent. But there's kind of I think the fit, how well you fit in,
amen,
philosophy, I think that plays such a huge role in it. Take Craig Bohl going from North Dakota State to Wyoming.
Hey, they're 4-2, by the way, now.
They are, and I think he's making strides there. But I think a lot of people thought, oh, my God, this guy's going to go to Wyoming. He's going to kick ass right away.
Didn't work that way.
It doesn't. And I've got a lot of respect for Craig Bohl. Now, the problem is when you're at North Dakota State, you've got a perennial powerhouse, and you're recruiting against North Dakota, South Dakota State, UNO when they still had a football team. I mean,
that hurt.
Sorry. Kearney. I mean, that's who you're recruiting against.
And well, once they went Division I AA, they weren't recruiting against Kearney anymore.
Okay, Montana State, Northwest Missouri State. That's who you're recruiting against. And he was able to do that there. And now all of a sudden you go to Wyoming. Now you can be just as good of a coach in terms of X's and O's, in terms of game prep, in terms of being the CEO of that program. But guess what? When you're at Wyoming, now you're recruiting against Utah and Colorado.
And Colorado State.
Colorado Air State. Force. Air Force. The Idaho schools. BYU. All of a sudden the game changes. It's a whole...
You're going after a different caliber of athlete.
It is. It is a whole nother ball game that you're trying to break into, and it's just not the same. It is a complete apples to oranges. I think Chris Peterson was waiting for an apples to apples job to open up. Would you pardon my pun on the state of Washington and apples? I totally didn't plan that when I said that, but... He was waiting for an oranges-to-oranges job to open up. When he was at Boise, going to Washington, guess what? That's the same caliber of athletes. Yeah. Oh, well, almost.
Yeah.
Almost the same
caliber. But you are now getting in.
But it's the same people he was recruiting against. It's that whole swath through the Pac-10 and the former WAC-Con, the old-school WAC-Conference that now you're recruiting against. It's people he knows. It's high school coaches he knows. It's schools he's recruited against already. And I thought it was such a smart move for him to take the Washington job. If he was going to leave Boise, that was the place to go.
So let's go back to the Big Ten. Nebraska had an off week. They're going to go to Indiana this week, which, you know, Urban Meyer said Indiana was maybe the fifth best team in the Big Ten. Listen, I'm not a Hoosier football aficionado, but I will say this. I like Kevin Wilson. I'm glad they stuck with Kevin Wilson because I look at Indiana kind of like the Iowa State job. You know, they could have easily gotten rid of Dan McCarney after 4 or 5 years because it wasn't working.
I guess it still wouldn't work.
Well, but his late 2000s, he got the bowl games. I'm not saying Indiana's ever going to win the Big Ten. I'm not saying that. But to get to that 6, 7, maybe 8 win mark to where you go to a bowl game on a consistent basis, or you go to like 3 bowl games, a couple years off, 3. I think Kevin Wilson.
I hate to say that's the most you could ask for.
Absolutely, but
it kind of is. Once in a blue moon, you pop out the aberrant Bill Mallory 10-win season.
Well, no, I don't know if we'll ever see that in Indiana. But this team, if it had a defense, would be a lot more formidable. I agree,
and their defense is a lot better than it has been.
True. But it's not great.
But I've always been a huge fan of Kevin. When he was at Oklahoma, God, that was a freaking symphony on the field, that what he was able to do at Oklahoma.
Bob Stoops is probably hoping he gets fired so we can bring him back. I mean, that's how much Oklahoma could use it. But
well, I think I think Bob's problem right now is the fact that the D coordinator is his brother. He can't fire him. That's a whole nother conference. But I love Kevin Wilson. I think Indiana scares me because if you ask me going into the season who was kind of the dark horse, I wouldn't have said Indiana. But they are now. I mean, they kind of went from that. Yeah, they're going to still put up points and yardage against people, but everybody's going to beat them because they've got no defense. Their defense has gone from horrendous to okay. The mediocrely okay, but that's enough to turn them into sort of that, okay, here's that team that can beat you. If they have a good day and you have a couple of turnovers, or if you pull a Nebraska and have a couple of key turnovers and have a couple of key penalties, this is a team that can beat you.
And that's what I was going to get at, is man for man, talent for talent, do I think Nebraska is a better team than Indiana? You bet. But it's one of those things where the stuff you can't predict in football, penalties, turnovers, mental mistakes, if that happens, then this game gets to be pretty interesting.
It does, and I'm worried too because, again, Nebraska's thin. I mean, they are a thin team right now. We haven't heard anything yet on Westerkamp. We haven't heard anything on Seath and Carter. I believe they're both out for this game. Tommy Armstrong's banged up. What was Mike Riley's comment last week at his press conference about if they had a game this past Saturday instead of a bye week, Tommy Armstrong probably would not be playing. And the offensive line. I mean, the offensive line is just, God, I feel so bad for Kavanaugh because they're absolutely running on fumes right now in terms of personnel. And the defensive line's been hurting from day one since half of them decided to go pro, transfer, or just quit. Perella's been, and again, I think it's a testament to the coaching staff and what guys like Kavanaugh and Perella have been able to do down there with just such an inexperienced lineup.
Yeah.
So I'm worried. This is a game that if you'd asked me what games are you worried about, you know, Oregon was one of those games that, you know what, if you lose to Oregon, granted, if Oregon beat Nebraska and then started getting their ass kicked, we'd be sitting there going like, well, maybe they're not so good. We might really suck. But at least at the time that we played Oregon, if we had lost to Oregon, we'd be sitting there going, well, it's Oregon. It's freaking fast break basketball on turf. Yeah, we could see that coming. If you lose at Wisconsin, everybody's going to go, well, shit, it's Camp Randall. People lose up there. You're going to go to Columbus and lose at the Horseshoe, and people are going to be like, well, for God's sakes, it's Urban Meyer. He sold his soul to the devil, and actually then he took out a second mortgage on it again. He's going to win games, and he's going to beat you in Columbus. So those are games that I don't think would have surprised anybody, and I don't think any Nebraska fans are going to be overly nervous or overly worked up for those games because those are games that people look at and go, well, yeah, if we get beat by those teams, it's no surprise. It's teams like this that scare the crap out of me. Northwestern in Lincoln, when Northwestern's having a good day, scares the crap out of me. Indiana's one of those teams. It's just because you know they can put up points.
Yeah.
You know they can score.
Well, and you're always going to be scared of the Ohio State games. You're going to be scared of the Wisconsin games because you know those are going to be good games, those teams that can beat you. These are teams that, well, shouldn't beat you, but if things go right, but they could.
Well, and you know what? Here's the thing about Indiana, because this game I did watch, didn't have any Huskers to watch. They were a fourth down conversion from a 24-31 game. With plenty of time to play. I mean, they were one fourth down conversion inside the five. I believe it was inside the 5 yard line. It was fourth and goal, and Wilson went for it. Could have kicked a field goal. Wouldn't have helped him hugely. I think he had to go for it.
Oh.
But if they make that, they're probably scoring. Ohio State's defense was getting tired at that point in the game. All of a sudden, it's a 31-24 game, and you've got the momentum. And that's an awesome place to be. If they get that fourth down conversion, that's a whole nother ball game. And I think people look at the final score of that game. Yeah, it was 38 points that Ohio State put up. And it looks like it's 38-17. Ohio State smoked them. No, it wasn't. I mean, this was one fourth down conversion late in the second half from being a one-score game with Indiana having the momentum.
I want to make sure you follow Dr. Rob Zadiska on Twitter at DocTalkSports. Again, at DocTalkSports. And one of the cool phenomenons about this podcast, it just makes me crack up each and every week, is our swear words. Because I've dropped one F-bomb today. You've dropped a couple S-bombs. But I gotta
stay away from the F-bomb.
I know. I'm an F-bomb guy.
Yeah, when my pastor told me this weekend that he listens mainly for the craft beer talk.
I had no idea you were a religious guy.
I'm Catholic light.
Oh, you're Lutheran.
Yeah.
So Pat writes in on Facebook, which are on the Podbean comments. Travis, you need to control yourself and stop using the F word so often as you do. I don't use it that often. I've only used it three times. I used it twice last week, and I've used it once tonight.
You were a dirty, dirty-minded individual.
If this were the first time I heard you swear, it would be one thing, but it's happened a number of your podcasts. Rob even said something to you, and you made light of it. I'm not sure if you have children. I have four, and my son is a 17-year-old that swears like a sailor because he's listened to me grow up. But would you like them to use those words at work or play? Well, they do. I've always said if you're going to use it in the right context. That was my only rule when it came to swear words.
I remember you saying that.
Yes, if you're going to swear, it better be in the right context.
Like 10 years ago.
This is the funny part. This is a public forum, and you don't know who's listening. First of all, it may be a public forum, but it's not public airwaves. I pay out of my own pocket to host this podcast on a server. I don't ask.
The FCC has no
nothing whatsoever. So just to let you know, it's a public forum because I let you comment, but I could actually shut off the comments. I won't do that because I like the comment section, and I usually try to respond to everybody.
We're cleaner than porn.
Yeah. But do you ever watch YouPorn?
I can't say I've checked this out.
YouPorn.com.
Like the letter U?
No, just youporn.com. It's free.
I'm learning things about you, Travis. I'm not sure I wanted to know.
There are many people that feel they need to add emphasis, but you need to find other words to do that. Please don't swear again on this public podcast. There's nothing public about it. I pay for it. Let's just get that straight.
Which I will say, actually, I will throw out there. My son's 7th grade football coach, yes. Junior Warriors, Coach Jared.
Yeah.
Did point out to me that he and his son actually listen to the podcast on occasion.
Yeah. But my point is, when I swear, people yell at me, because you're the Husker. If you swear, you don't get any shit whatsoever. You don't.
I'm not a freaking heathen from Iowa, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, well, who was it on Twitter who said, when are we going to get Travis to jump on the Husker bandwagon? I love that people don't think I'm on the bandwagon. And by the way, I'm the one who said, if I defended Iowa last year, I will defend Nebraska to the hilt, being in the top 10 moving up this year.
You know, you make a good point, because you talk about Nebraska this year versus last year. You talk about Iowa last year versus this year.
It's almost mirror.
Iowa, well, you know, don't even do the Nebraska-Iowa comparison. Do the team-to-team comparison. Iowa this year is truly probably not hell.
They have more talent. Not on the offensive line, what we thought, but they have more skill talent.
Iowa, other than the fact, I think Beathard's playing hurt. He's not the same player.
Is he playing hurt, or is he playing not to get hurt? Because there's a difference there.
There is, and it's hard. That's a tough one to delineate. He had off-season surgery. He had that sports hernia, which that's like something. It's like a condition that did not exist prior to 1998. Anyway, he had surgery for that in the off-season. You know, I'm not going to say that. He's still throwing his body out there.
He didn't until last week. Last week was the first time he really threw his body out.
He took some hits in that game against Minnesota. I thought he laid it on the line against Minnesota. I just think, you know, that sports hernia, and what it is, it's basically where, if you think about your abdominal muscles, essentially your core muscles in the front, they come down and attach to the front of the pelvis, basically there at the pubic bone. So you feel down there right at the bottom of your belly, there's a bone there. It's the front of your pelvis. All those abdominal muscles, all those core muscles come down and attach right there in front. And what a sports hernia is, it's basically where some of those muscles essentially kind of herniate or open up and pull away from that bone. It's painful, and it's a tough fix. And what I worry about is the fact that when I look at Beathard, I think he's physically essentially kind of lost a step. You lose those muscles to lift the legs up, to run, to move, to take those hard, quick first steps, upper body control, throwing the ball, etc. I think he's lost a little bit because of that injury and because of the subsequent surgery. Other than Beathard, in his level of play, because he was completely a difference maker for Iowa in several games last year. But outside of that, I think Iowa is very, very close to being exactly the same team they were last year. I think Nebraska is very, very close to being exactly the same team they were last year. I went
All you're saying is the margin of error is so thin for both teams.
It is. And I don't think you're seeing really a drastically different performance from Iowa from what they showed last year. I don't think you're seeing a drastically different performance from Nebraska from what you saw last year. And I'm the guy who, for the last 9 months, if you listen to this podcast, I'm the guy who's been saying, hey, last year, in any of those losses that Nebraska had, they were one, two, maybe three plays away from a win.
And same with Iowa. They were one, two, three plays away from a loss. And that's the fine line.
It is. And you're seeing what happens now when a couple of those plays don't go Iowa's way. You're seeing a couple of what happens when a couple of those plays do go Nebraska's way. Yeah, I mean, it's game changers.
Hey, folks, if you like what you hear, please tell a friend about the Husker Doc Talk podcast. If you're on iTunes, please give us a little review. I guess I'm told. I've never really took time to market this damn thing. But I will say that I'm told that if you give us some stars or write a review about us, we move up the chain. So if you could like the podcast, follow it on Podbean, and share it with a friend, because we think we talk good stuff. And I hope you enjoy it, whether you like the swearing, which isn't that much anyway. But we like to talk football. We like to talk sports, and it's always fun to get together each and every week with Dr. Rob. So again, follow him on Twitter at DocTalkSports. Hey, we want to thank the Remington Trophy for being the presenting sponsor of this Husker Doc Talk podcast. Dave Remington, such a great guy, supports this podcast, likes what he hears each and every week, or at least we think he does. Thanks to Scotty at Husker Hounds. Good stuff, Scotty. Get your Halloween costumes. Get those kids dressed up as big red guys, big red Huskers. Do they have a little red costume? Do they have the blow-up costume?
God, I would think they'd have to.
Yeah, I know. It. And also, get your Husker Daily News at HuskerMax.com. We'll be back next week as the Huskers take on Purdue. We'll also talk about the Indiana game. Will it be a win? Will it be a loss? And where will the Huskers fall in the polls next week? We'll discuss it next week on the Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy.